Set the stage for us, Dan Schaefer. We're about to get underway here. Is all the legislators, the Senate, are they there in the Assembly chambers by now?
Everybody is beginning to convene in the Assembly chambers. The UW-Madison band has stopped playing, so I think that's my cue to duck of the random hallways in the Capitol and make my way back to the Assembly chambers for the speech.
Dan Schaefer, political editor, we thank you for your time. We will talk to you after the broadcast. Thanks for making time for us, Dan. We appreciate it. Dan Schaefer, political editor, founder of the Recombobulation Area. As we await Governor Tony Evers, as Dan said, this is in the Assembly Chamber, which is the larger chamber of the two in the Wisconsin Capitol. And the Senate always makes the way over. They come in the back door. Of course, the Speaker Pro Tem announces the governor. He makes his way in. Lots of handshaking, kind of as Dan said, pomp and circumstance here. As we're looking now live into the state capitol and the Assembly Chambers right now, it is festooned with red, white, and blue bunting in the chambers right now. People always kind of just kind of milling around right now at the present time and at the moment. So we are awaiting. These things always take just a little bit. And if you're in the state capitol, it's always a lot of fun to be in the chamber and see who talks to who tries to get a handshake with the governor on his way to on the way to the stage and that sort of thing. So it's always a good time had by all. And now it appears that Speaker Pro Tem has announced Governor Tony Evers. There he is, coming in the back of the Assembly Chamber, making his way up through the middle aisle. There we can kind of hear the crowd in the background there. Notable there, several people along the side of the aisle. As you look at, if you're watching on a monitor, that sort of thing, as the speaker, as the governor will be standing at the dais looking out at the chamber, Democrats will by and large be on his left. Republicans will be on his right. Always interested in these things as well to see who's going to stand up on certain clapping and who's going to sit on their hands. But really, we're here to hear about the budget address itself and to hear from the governor tonight. As Dan Schaefer said, you're going to hear less maybe cheerleading and more sounding like an accountant tonight. Wisconsin runs on what's called a biennial budget, which means the budget only happens every 2 years. So the governor gives this speech tonight. This is his chance to kind of have the ball first, if you're going to put it in football terms. And then the state legislature goes. Legislature, of course, both the state Senate and the Assembly is controlled by Republicans. And they start with the Joint Finance Committee, or Joint Committee on Finance, I guess is the technical term. It's referred to as JFC in the building in the Capitol amongst the legislators. And so JFC will get their kick at the can. We're going to talk after our broadcast to one of the longtime former members, Republican Rob Coles of Green Bay. He's going to be joining us from Green Bay, and one of the current Democratic members, State Senator Keldon Royce of the Madison area. Looking forward to that conversation. But right now, Tony Evers is going to the dais dressed in a dark suit and a white shirt and a red, white, and blue tie. Here now, the governor of the state of Wisconsin, Tony Evers.
It is my honor to introduce the governor of the great state of Wisconsin, the Honorable Tony Evers.
Thanks so much. It's all good. Here we go, folks. Good evening, Wisconsinites, honorable Supreme Court justices, tribal leaders, tribal leaders in the tribal nations, constitutional officers, members of the Wisconsin National Guard, and active and retired members of our armed forces, cabinet members, legislators, distinguished guests, and Wisconsinites joining us from wherever you are. Thank you for being here with us tonight. And my wife, Kathy, is up there in the gallery tonight, folks. Where are you, Kathy? Thank you. Kathleen Francis, you are my best friend and sounding board. There's no one else I'd rather shovel heaps of snow with or lose a game of pickleball to. I love you so much, Kathy. Folks, I'm Tony Evers, and I'm excited to be here tonight to introduce my fourth biannual budget as the 46th governor of the great state of Wisconsin. Wisconsinites, we're not even 50 days into 2025, but my administration and I have been hard at work doing the right thing for Wisconsin. I'm excited tonight to be able to share some of the good work we've been doing, including laying out our state's policy priorities for the next 2 years. Our budget includes my comprehensive plan to lower costs from child care to medication to help working families, seniors, and students. I'm also providing nearly $2 billion in tax relief, including eliminating income tax on tips, and my plan invests in public education at every level while holding the line on property taxes to make sure the average homeowner will not see a property tax increase. I'm announcing plans to stop price gouging on prescriptions and crack down on insurance companies for denying Wisconsinites medical bill claims. I also want to invest in fighting PFAS and lead and getting contaminants out of our land, service lines, bubblers, schools, homes, and child care centers for good. And we're going to keep fixing the darn roads and infrastructure, building more affordable housing, keeping our kids, families, and communities safe, and expanding high-speed internet. The budget I'm proposing balances our priorities of investing in our kids and needs that have been long neglected while providing real and sustainable tax relief and saving where we can. So let's get to work. Here in America's dairyland, agriculture is a $116 billion industry. Everybody knows farmers, farm families, and producers have been the backbone of our state for generations. So when we heard about President Trump's 25% tariff tax, which could spark trade wars with Wisconsinites' largest export partners, hurt our economy and farmers, and drive up costs for gas and groceries, we got right to work. Just as that 25% tax was set to go into effect, I announced a new plan to help protect Wisconsin farmers and our ag industry and bolster our supply chain. Under my administration, Wisconsin is on its way to becoming a top 10 state for ag exports. We can't afford to lose our momentum because of tariff wars in Washington. So my plan creates a new ag economist position in state government that will help farmers navigate market disruptions and volatility caused by tariffs. I'm also proposing to double our investments in the Wisconsin Initiative for Ag Exports to help increase exports for our dairy, meat, crops, and help farmers and producers expand into new markets. And we're going to build upon our support for the meat and dairy processors to help keep our supply chain strong. We also have to help make sure farmers and producers can get product to market. We just announced 55 new projects across 36 counties to improve rural roads and infrastructure through our Agricultural Roads Improvement Program that we created last session. Tonight, I'm announcing we're going to invest $50 million to continue that successful program to help ensure our farmers, our producers, and ag and forestry industries have reliable roads they can depend on. I also kicked off the new year declaring 2025 the year of the kid across our state. I want everything we do together this year to be focused on doing what's best for our kids and the families who raise them. So I'm asking the legislature to approve a budget that does what's best for our kids at every stage, in every way, and no matter where they live in our state. In 2025, the year of the kid, I'm excited to be introducing the most pro-kid budget in state's history. An important part of doing what's best for kids is reducing exposures to dangerous chemicals and getting harmful contaminants out of the water. Every Wisconsinite should have access to clean and safe drinking water, no matter where they live. Tonight, I'm introducing my plan to combat water pollution and improve water quality across Wisconsin. Lead exposure and poisoning is especially dangerous. There is no safe level of lead exposure for kids. Even a small exposure can affect a kid for life, reducing learning capacity and attention span and affecting academic achievement. So I approved an emergency rule strengthening our lead standards statewide and announced new investments to support kids and families when they are exposed to lead. Thank you. But we should be working to prevent our kids from ever being exposed to lead in the first place. In the last few weeks, Wisconsin has seen cases of lead poisoning in kids who are exposed to dangerous levels of lead at school. At school, folks, that should never happen anywhere in Wisconsin, period. We have to work together to fix this. Tonight, I'm asking bipartisan support to invest over $300 million to help get lead out of our service lines, our bubblers, our schools, our homes, and child care centers for good. And lead is just one contaminant that's affecting kids, families, and water across our state. Let's talk about PFAS. Forever, chemicals like PFAS are chemicals that have been used for decades in things like nonstick cookware, firefighting foam, and even food packaging. PFAS exposure at certain levels can mean developmental delays in kids, increased cholesterol levels, reduced immunity response to infections, and even heightened risk of some cancers. Addressing PFAS and other contaminants grows harder and more expensive each day of delay. Republicans and Democrats must work together to finally get something done on this issue. As part of my comprehensive plan to improve water quality statewide, we're working to strengthen Wisconsin's groundwater standards for PFAS. And I'm asking the legislature to support an investment of over $145 million to fight PFAS contamination statewide and provide emergency resources like bottled water to families and communities affected by water contamination. Cleaning up our water is a key part of our work to keep kids and families across Wisconsin healthy and safe. But we should also invest in preserving our natural resources, increasing outdoor recreation opportunities, and expanding access to public lands for hunting, trapping, and fishing. So let's reauthorize the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program for another decade, and let's do it with bipartisan support. Let's deliver on the promise to our kids and grandkids of a better state and world than what we inherited. This budget is about doing what's best for our kids, yes, by addressing pressing challenges facing our kids today. But we must also work to do what's best for our kids' futures, too. Every Wisconsin kid should have access to high-quality public education, from early childhood to our K-12 schools to our higher education institutions. In 2025, the year of the kid, I'm urging the legislature to do what's best for our kids by approving significant investments in public education at every level in Wisconsin. Let's start with higher education. Wisconsin has one of the best technical college systems in the country. So our budget invests in green jobs, our healthcare workforce, and worker training for artificial intelligence. And I am proposing nearly $60 million to support our technical colleges and their good work. But I also want to talk about our universities. This is a make-or-break budget for our UW campuses. I know there's a lot of talk in Washington about higher education. And look, folks, I can't speak to what's happening on other campuses across other parts of our country. But I visit just about every campus every year. So I've seen what's happening on our UW campuses with my own two eyes. And we're doing things differently here. Politicians in Washington don't know a darn thing about what's going on in campuses across Wisconsin. They don't understand that our UW system has been part of Wisconsin since we first became a state. It's enshrined in our state constitution. They don't know how important our UW system has been to our state's success or how important it is for our future. At UW-Eau Claire, they're working to improve healthcare outcomes and lower healthcare costs in rural areas. UW-Platteville is helping address rural healthcare shortages by training a new generation of physician assistants. UW-Milwaukee and UW-Whitewater are among the top campuses in the country for supporting students who are service members or veterans. Through a workforce-centered program, UW-Parkside has increased graduation rates by about 20%. UW-Stevens Point is training more than 1,200 future educators who are supporting classrooms in over 200 different school districts across Wisconsin. UW-La Crosse is partnering with local businesses to make sure the skills they're teaching meet local employer needs. And I can go on, and I will. Supported over 500 Wisconsin small businesses that needed help with digital marketing support efforts. UW-Green Bay is working with school districts to give high school students the opportunity to earn an associate's degree. UW-Superior, Small Business Development Center, is helping entrepreneurs start or expand their businesses across 8 northern counties. UW-River Falls is expanding hands-on learning activities to support our dairy industry right here in America's Dairyland. UW-Madison is leading national efforts to study Alzheimer's to help improve treatment and find a cure for the more than 110,000 Wisconsinites who live with that cruel disease every day. UW-Stout's Manufacturing Outreach Center has worked on more than 470 projects in Wisconsin with Wisconsin manufacturers across 33 of our 72 counties. Folks, this is a story of what's happening on UW campuses. Each and every day, UW is helping improve our daily lives here in Wisconsin and the world over. And our ability to compete and be successful, to have a strong economy and workforce, to retain our homegrown talent, to solve problems in our smallest towns to our largest cities and make life better for everyone who calls our state home, depends on our UW system, period. This is just water, folks. Today, after years of attacks and disinvestment, UW is facing campus closures and program cuts. Students are facing tuition increases, and faculty and staff are facing layoffs. And with new federal efforts to cut higher education funding, things for UW could get a whole lot worse. So tonight, I'm keeping the promise I made to the people of Wisconsin, and I'm asking the legislature to approve the largest two-year increase for our UW system in state's history. We have to get this done, folks. It's up to us, each of us together, to invest in our UW system, to defend it, and to protect its promise for future generations. Let me be clear to the elected officials in this building whose public education at UW helped get you to where you are today. You share in that important responsibility. Don't tell our kids they don't deserve to have the same opportunity you did. Doing what's best for our kids will always be what's best for our state. Investing in our kids will pay dividends for their futures and ours, too. That's why my pro-kid budget makes significant investments in public education at every level, including our K-12 schools. The cost of shortchanging our kids is expensive, folks. We cannot afford to fail them. We have a responsibility to improve outcomes for our kids, both within our schools and beyond them. You know, I've talked a lot about the work we must do to improve student outcomes in class and how we're finally getting and finally help shorten the odds. And we have to begin with the basics. I know some legislators have tried to use student outcomes to argue against investing in our kids and our schools. Folks, if you believe that, you got it backwards. The outcomes we are seeing are exactly why we must do more to do what's best for our kids. Yeah. The legislature should approve my plan to make sure every kid can get healthy meals in schools at no cost, regardless of whether their family can afford it. Why? Because our kids will perform better in our classrooms when we do. Yes. Legislators should approve my plan to make sure kids can access comprehensive mental health services no matter where they go to school. Why is that? Because our kids will perform better in our classrooms when we do. The legislature should approve my plan to help make sure kids have access to clean drinking water no matter where they live. Why? Because our kids will perform better in our classrooms when we do. If the state isn't committed to meeting some basic needs, then we can't have serious conversations about improving outcomes. It's that simple. If our kids are fed, healthy, and feel safe, they'll perform better in class. So we have to get back to the basics in this budget. Reading is fundamental. There are a lot of discussions right now about our kids' reading scores, how we measure student outcomes, and how we improve them regardless of how they're measured. These discussions are important. But this legislature and I approved $50 million in the last budget that could be improving our kids' reading and literacy if it wasn't still sitting in Madison today, nearly 2 years later. So we can have those discussions, but let's start by releasing millions of dollars we all agreed would improve reading statewide. We're going to have to work even harder to reverse these trends and make up for lost time. It's one of those reasons that in 2025, the year of the kid, I'll be asking the legislature to approve $80 million to invest in literacy coaches, tutoring, and other key supports to help improve reading scores statewide. Doing the right thing for Wisconsin begins by doing what's best for our kids. So my pro-kid budget makes the largest investment in Wisconsin kids in any budget by any governor in state's history. During my first term, I fought to secure the first special education aid increase in over a decade and the largest increase in funding for special education ever in state's history. Tonight, I'm proposing the highest ever amount of state education aid funding, and we're going to guarantee the state reimburses special education costs at 60% to ensure every kid gets the public education they deserve. But folks, here's the truth. Our current system isn't working. Take the Mauston School District, for example. The fate of their school district is on the ballot today, and kids, parents, and educators will be holding their breath tonight to see if their schools will be saved. That's the reality become all too often. In 2024, we saw a historic number of school referendums on the ballot, and 169 of those referendums passed. Nearly 400 referendums passed in the last 4 years. So the good news is Wisconsinites have shown this legislature time and time again they support increasing investments in our public schools. The bad news is Wisconsinites had to raise their own property taxes to prove it. This system isn't sustainable. It creates winners and losers, haves and have-nots, but referendums are not inevitable.
That's right.
Wisconsinites wouldn't have to raise their own property taxes to keep school lights on and doors open if this legislature invested in K-12 education from the get-go. And the budget I'm announcing tonight proves we can both make the investments in our kids that we need to and hold the line on prevent property taxes from going up. All told, our pro-kid budget will do what's best for our kids by providing more than $3.15 billion. Nearly all of it is spendable revenue for schools across Wisconsin, and we're going to make those investments while holding the line on property taxes to ensure the average homeowner will not see a property tax increase. My budget would create a new incentive for local governments to freeze their local property taxes. If local governments agree not to raise local property taxes, they'll get a direct payment from the state. This will ensure local partners can still afford to pay for basic and unique local needs alike without property taxes going up. Working to prevent property tax increases is a key part of my plan to lowering costs for working families. But we can do more to reduce everyday out-of-pocket costs for folks across the state. More Wisconsinites are working than ever before, but paychecks today aren't going nearly as far as they used to. I'm really concerned about President Trump's 25% tariff tax will not only hurt our families and our farmers and ag industries and our economy, but it will also cause prices to go up on everything from gas to groceries. Some estimates indicated this could raise costs on the average American by about $1,200 a year. That will make it even harder for Wisconsinites to make ends meet. So I'm asking Republicans and Democrats to work together to pass my comprehensive plan to lower everyday out-of-pocket costs for working families. Wisconsinites need a leg up to be able to finally get ahead on utility bills, on child care costs, on groceries, medication, and doctor visits, and everything in between. And we've got a plan to do just that. Here's how we get it done. Let's save Wisconsinites money on their monthly utility bills. I'm proposing to eliminate the sales tax on electricity and gas for Wisconsin homes, which will save Wisconsinites about $100 million in out-of-pocket costs each year. Wisconsinites also need the legislature to get serious about lowering out-of-pocket costs for child care this session. No more excuses, folks. Putting two young kids in child care in Wisconsin costs more than the average rent or mortgage. In 2023, child care costs consumed as much as a third of families' household incomes. Our workforce and economy can't afford more parents leaving their jobs because they can't afford child care. Let's invest in our child care providers so that they can hire more staff, reduce wait lists, and lower the cost of child care so that we can get working families, working parents and families a little more breathing room in their household budgets. That's a win-win-win for our kids, our families, our workforce, and our state. My plan will provide nearly $2 billion in tax relief through efforts to lower property taxes, eliminate the sales tax on several everyday expenses, and cut income taxes for middle-class Wisconsinites, including homeowners, renters, veterans, and seniors. Let's also make sure Wisconsinites can keep more money in their pockets. I'm proposing to nearly double Wisconsin's personal income tax exemption. That means Wisconsinites will pay no income taxes on the first $1,200 they earn, period. And I want us to work together to pass my proposal to support students and workers in our service industries by letting them keep the tips they earn tax-free. Let's eliminate taxes on cash tips. I thought I heard the president talking about that, too. My plan will also give Wisconsinites more tax relief back based on the mortgage and rent they pay. By building upon our homestead tax credit, my new property tax and rent rebate will provide nearly $150 million in tax relief for about 165,000 homeowners and renters across our state. A key part of my plan to lower costs for working families, including includes making it easier for folks to get the health care they need without breaking the bank. Health care should not be a privilege afforded only to the healthy and wealthy. It's why I am again proposing to expand Badger Care, which would save Wisconsin taxpayers nearly $2 billion over the next 2 years, that's billion with a B, folks, and expand quality, affordable health care coverage for about 100,000 Wisconsinites. And I'm also providing new hospital investments to improve access to health care across Wisconsin, including our rural communities. As part of my comprehensive plan to lower costs for working families, I'm also proposing sweeping plans to lower costs for prescriptions and medication and crack down on price gouging for and health insurers. My Less for X RX plan will lower costs for life-saving prescription drugs and insulin. We would create a prescription drug affordability review board to crack down on prescription price gouging. We'd cap the cost of insulin copays at $35. We'd set price ceilings for prescription medication. And we'd save Wisconsinites a projected $70 million over the next 2 years alone by eliminating the sales tax on over-the-counter medication. Let's finally make lowering everyday out-of-pocket costs for medication a bipartisan priority this session. And here's something else we can do with bipartisan support. In the year of the kid, let's finally do what's best for our moms and babies. Let's extend postpartum coverage for pregnant women on Badger Care up to 1 year after giving birth. Wisconsin and Arkansas are the only two states in America that haven't done this. I mean, nothing against Arkansas, but come on, folks. I've proposed this in every budget I've introduced as governor. There's also a bipartisan bill to get it done that almost 90 legislators support. One legislator should not be able to single-handedly obstruct a bill that's supported by a supermajority. Wisconsinites should be able to get the health care they need when they need it. But I hear from folks all the time who feel like they're getting ripped off by the health care industry and insurers. Folks can't get a straight answer on what's covered by insurance and what's not. People can get sicker and health problems get worse because it takes too long to get an appointment or be approved for care, if it's ever approved at all. People try to get their care paid for, but insurance companies refuse to cover it. Families get a medical bill and see all sorts of charges they don't know about. Or even worse, suddenly collection agencies are calling about unpaid medical bills they didn't even know they hadn't paid. Wisconsinites aren't getting a fair shake when it comes to health care, and I want to change that. So first things first. I want to make Wisconsin the first state in America to start auditing insurance companies over denying health care claims. If an insurance company is going to deny your health care claim, they should have a darn good reason for it. It's frustrating when your claim gets denied and it doesn't seem like anyone can give you a good reason why. So here's what I propose we do to fix that. Under my plan, if an insurance company is denying Wisconsinites' claim too often, we're going to audit them. Pretty simple. It's very simple. And here's what else that this plan would do. We'd create a new office to help Wisconsinites whose health insurance claims are denied. For the first time in state's history, we'd have an office in state government devoted to helping the Wisconsinites hold health insurers accountable and ensuring folks get the health insurance cover they pay for. That's a big deal, folks. And another thing that gets me wound up is how, when I start shaking my finger, is how health insurance companies require healthcare professionals to get permission before they prescribe medication or care that you need. Basically, that means health insurers, not your doctors, are deciding whether your prescribed treatment is medically necessary. Health insurance companies try to use these so-called prior authorizations to help their bottom line and cut costs. They're banking on being able to avoid covering the services and treatment you need. And Wisconsinites, you pay the price. Folks have to wait to get care until doctors get permission or may end up foregoing treatment altogether because of all the hassles with insurance. That can cause health conditions to get even worse, even dangerous, and even life-threatening. So my plan would create new standards to expand healthcare services, procedures that insurance companies are required to cover. That means more healthcare services and procedures will be covered by your insurance automatically. No delays, no hassles, no questions asked. Wisconsinites should know what you're getting when you buy your health insurance plan. You should know which services and treatments will need prior authorization. So we want to require health insurance companies to be transparent from the get-go. They have to tell you right up front which services and treatments will require prior approval so that you can find a health plan that's right for you. And this may be obvious, but here's one thing we have to make sure of. No one should be in a mental health crisis wondering whether insurance will cover an inpatient stay to get help. So we're going to ban health insurance companies from requiring pre-approval for inpatient mental health services so Wisconsinites in crisis can be safe and get life-saving care. Wisconsinites, you should be able to get health care when and where you need it, and you should be able to get it quickly and close to home. Folks can't afford to travel hours away to get basic services, and you shouldn't have to wait weeks and months to get an appointment. So my plan is simple. Would enable creating statewide standards for maximum wait times for scheduling appointments, and I'm proposing to require health insurance companies to make sure the services they cover are available within a minimum time and distance of where you live. And even if folks can get care, far too often unpaid medical bills are sent to collection agencies because Wisconsinites can't afford to pay them. Other times, Wisconsinites might even know about unpaid medical bills before they're sent to collections or report to credit bureaus. This plan would require health providers to give Wisconsinites notice of unpaid medical bills, and would give Wisconsinites a 6-month grace period, banning health care providers from reporting unpaid medical debt to consumer reporting agencies during that time. In this budget, we found ways to cut taxes and save where we could while investing in key priorities and finding real solutions to real problems Wisconsinites are facing every day. While we must continue to stay within our means, we have a duty to do what's best for our kids and future generations. We must continue to do the right thing for Wisconsin if we want to protect the future we've worked hard to build together. Wisconsinites, I am so proud of our work to deliver a budget that balances these important obligations. And that's important. With so much happening in Washington that's reckless and partisan, and with partisan in Wisconsin, we must continue our work to be reasonable and pragmatic. The needless chaos caused by the federal government in recent weeks has already made preparing a state budget that much more difficult. We prepared for the worst. Popular programs that kids, families, schools, veterans, seniors, and communities rely upon every day being drastically cut. Resources and investments that Wisconsin is counting on and budgeted for suddenly stalled or gutted. Trade wars with Wisconsin's largest export partners hurting our ag industries and our economy. Costs for working families skyrocketing to the point they can't even make ends meet. It's why, even though I propose historic investments in several areas statewide, it would not have been wise or responsible to spend every last cent available in this budget. We made difficult decisions and saved where we could, leaving a balance of about $500 million in our state's checking account. With irresponsible decisions in Washington every day, hurting people in Wisconsin, we will need to have state resources readily available to respond to basic and emergency situations alike. So, as the legislature deliberates my proposal, I urge you to take seriously the disastrous consequences federal decisions will have on Wisconsinites and our state, and plan accordingly. There is a lot of work to do, folks, but I know we can get good things done for Wisconsin in this budget if everyone focuses on doing what's best for our kids, delivering real solutions for real problems Wisconsinites face every day, and doing the right thing. So let's get to work, folks. Let's make it happen. Thank you, and on Wisconsin. UW Marching Band, take her away.
Governor Tony Evers wrapping up his biennial budget address as the University of Wisconsin Marching Band comes onto the assembly floor. Let's take a little bit of that. Our great producer, Aaron Zommers, it might be the most dramatic part of the evening, quite frankly, now that we have the University of Wisconsin Marching Band coming on there. Governor Evers are wrapping up his remarks and going off the dais now. We're going to be joined here in just a few minutes by a political editor and for Civic Media, and also the founder of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, who is standing by. He was in the chamber and listening to this speech that lasted just shy of 45 minutes tonight. Also standing by at our studios in Green Bay after the 8 o'clock hour, we'll be talking to former State Senator Rob Coles, a Republican who is a longtime member of the Joint Committee on Finance, better known as JFC to those people in the building, as they say, in the Capitol. He'll be giving us his perspective, helping us to understand what this budget process is. I think that perhaps is one of the things that could be most helpful for all of us tonight, is to understand what does this really mean to Wisconsinites and Wisconsin taxpayers? What is this process all about? Nobody knows it better than former Senator Rob Coles, and he will walk us through it, and we'll also get his reaction to the governor's remarks tonight. Also joining us a little bit later this evening, we're going to have current state senator, Democrat Kelda Royce, who represents the Isthmus of Madison, longtime state senator, a legislator, and a member of the current member of the Joint Committee on Finance. So Kelda Royce will be joining us a little bit, giving us a Democratic perspective there. And a little bit later, as we said, I'll be talking to Dan Schaefer and our own Jimmy Kosca a little bit on later tonight as we move into election night coverage. Again, about 10 minutes to go if you have not voted yet tonight, and you could get to your polling place and be in line by 8 o'clock, although most places, I think, have pretty short, if any, lines at all. But polls are still open for about 10 more minutes in the big race tonight, the primary for the Department of Public Instruction superintendent. Three candidates on the ballot will be whittled down to one after tonight. Dr. Jill Underley and Jeff Wright are the two Democrats, and Brittany Kinzer, an education consultant being supported by the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Technically a nonpartisan race, but in recent years, it has become essentially a shadow partisan contest. We'll be following all of that. The governor tonight mentioned one of the big, perhaps the biggest school referendum on the ballot tonight across the state of Wisconsin is in the city of Mauston. For those listening across the state of Wisconsin that might not know exactly where Mauston is, I think most of us know where Wisconsin Dells is at. About an hour north of Madison is the Dells, and then kind of go another maybe 25, 30 minutes northwest of the Dells, and there you will find Mauston in beautiful Juneau County. Mauston going to referendum for the third time in under a year. The school board and district superintendent saying if tonight's referendum does not pass, they will have to really seriously consider and most likely dissolve the Mauston School District over the next 2 years, as there simply will not be money to continue that school district. The governor mentioning that tonight in his the biennial budget address. And so Jimmy Kosca will be standing by himself, a school board member in the Boscobel area. He is standing by watching that race. Polls are open again for about, 8 more minutes or so here until 8 o'clock, as our own Luke Mathers likes to say. Be a voter tonight, if you haven't already done so. We also are expecting at some point in the next few minutes here to hear from Democratic Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, who is going to be joining us, my understanding, by phone. Get her take on this as well. Lots to get through tonight. I mean, certainly there is no lack of content in the governor's biennial budget tonight. It's someone who's sat through a lot of these over the years, a former legislative aide. Lots of meat on the bone, but maybe not particularly user-friendly, if I could be allowed to say that. What I thought was interesting is the governor did this in the State of the State, and yes, the State of the State tends to be more narrative in form, but the governor did not spend a lot of time using stories tonight in his budget address to make some of these policies that he's proposing in the budget relatable to individuals across the state of Wisconsin. And maybe this was just for the legislators in the room. If so, that's fine. Again, as someone who's seen a lot of Democrats and Republicans give these budget addresses, it is a unique moment for these governors to connect with the people of Wisconsin. Of course, we're broadcasting it all across the state of Wisconsin on radio and also streaming on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, X, and the like. Wisconsin Public Television broadcast it live tonight. I know Wisconsin Public Radio broadcast it live. A number of commercial television stations, while not carrying it on their network or over the air broadcasts, many such as Channel 3 in Madison carrying it on their streaming service. So the point is that the governor had an opportunity, had an audience built in of Wisconsin voters. And so, at least to my ears, the governor may have wanted to make it more narrative and connect a few of these policies. You know, I thought that going back over some of the things that he said there, I thought it was great that he was talking about postpartum extension for badger care across the state of Wisconsin, saying that only Wisconsin and Arkansas, the only two states that don't have it. That's a great initiative to have in a budget, something that should be very broadly a lot of appeal. But what it lacked was a story about an individual who was trying to get that or who didn't get it. And I think make it relatable to the average voter, the average listener across the state of Wisconsin. So we'll discuss that with our panel as they come on board. While we're doing that, Aaron Zommer is our great producer and engineer tonight. Maybe we could take some of these cuts here that we put together during the broadcast. Appreciate Zommer's work and Luke Mathers as well. One of the big issues that has been at the forefront of the last legislative session was that of PFAS. These are microbial or microscopic chemicals, essentially plastic, that is found in water all across the state of Wisconsin. And they thought last legislative session, that the Republican legislature was close. They passed a bill. The governor had an initiative, but where things kind of got mucked up, to use the phrase, is that the governor wanted more stringent measures to be passed or penalties against those found guilty of polluting. And the governor, that's what he wanted. The legislature, controlled by Republicans, said it was a no-go, and so nothing got done. Here is what Governor Evers said tonight in his biennial budget address on PFAS. Here is the governor just moments ago.
As part of my comprehensive plan to improve water quality statewide, we're working to strengthen Wisconsin's groundwater standards for PFAS, and I'm asking the legislature to support an investment of over $145 million to fight PFAS contamination statewide and provide emergency resources like bottled water to families and communities affected by water contamination.
Governor Tony Evers talking about his initiative in the biennial budget on PFAS. We are going to go in just a moment to Wisconsin's Lieutenant Governor, Sarah Rodriguez. But before we do, it is right now 4 minutes before the hour of, 6 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. We're going to pause for 10 seconds for local stations to identify themselves. You're listening to continuing coverage of Governor Tony Evers' biennial budget address on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WAUK Jackson Milwaukee, WMDX Columbus Madison, WGBW Green Bay, WISS Oshkosh, WZBU New Holstein, WLCX La Crosse, and WBZH Hayward.
And welcome back to our continuing coverage of Governor Tony Evers' biennial budget address. In about 10 minutes, we're going to also transition into Wisconsin Decides 2025 on primary spring election night here across the state of Wisconsin. But at this time, we're going to be joined right now by phone by Wisconsin's Lieutenant Governor. Sarah Rodriguez is on the phone. Lieutenant Governor, thank you so much for taking time for us on Civic Media on what I'm sure is a busy evening for you.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure, Lieutenant Governor. Just your thoughts tonight I'm sure you had a hand in putting this together, or at least we're aware of it. You work hand-in-hand with the governor, and part of your job, I know, is to go out across the state of Wisconsin like you've done so many times, and for lack of a better term, sell this plan. What were your takeaways tonight in what Governor Tony Evers had to say?
Well, I think what Governor Evers had from our administration were really bold proposals that are going to help everyday Wisconsinites, whether that's investing in our public school systems, whether that's reducing the cost for health care. These are all things that are going to affect people's pocketbooks. And I know that if I'm hearing about it all across the state, that means my Republican counterparts are hearing about it all across the state. This is something we can agree upon and make sure that we are taking care of Wisconsinites here at home.
A couple of the things, the highlights that I got out of this tonight. One of them is something we've heard Donald Trump talk about at least on the campaign stump, not so much since he's become president again, but this no tip on taxes. Governor Evers proposing a state version of that tonight.
Yeah. So he was going to take good ideas wherever they come from. And that was one of his proposals, is to have no tax on tips here in Wisconsin, putting more money back in people's pockets. And, we're honestly worried about the tariffs that Trump is proposing, that it's going to affect our farmers here pretty significantly. And so trying to make sure we are proactive in terms of helping our farmers, that the prices, we do not want prices to go up for Wisconsinites, and that's what those Trump tariffs are going to do.
You've come on our show, noon to two a few times. We always appreciate you making time for us. One of the things I've been so impressed with you, Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez, is that you have roots in Southwest Wisconsin, where I'm from. My grandparents were dairy farmers there. You're a great storyteller. And while I thought the governor had a lot of meat on the bone in terms of proposals tonight, I just wish you would do more what you do, which is tell stories and make these proposals that are pretty technical more relatable to Wisconsinites.
You know, I think the governor did a fantastic job today. I really want to make sure we are reiterating how much that this is going to save Wisconsinites money. We know that people are struggling to be able to pay their bills, whether it's childcare. Heck, I've got two kids myself. They're a little older now. They don't need childcare anymore. They're 15 and 18. But I remember when they were little, how difficult that was to make sure that I could afford that in my budget. It was a huge expense to have two little ones. They're only 2.5 years apart, so two of them in childcare at the same time, and trying to make our budget stretch to make that work. I know that families are struggling right now to be able to do that, which is why I was really happy that the governor has proposed in his budget dollars to be able to offset those costs for childcare in Wisconsin.
I don't expect a comment on this. I'll move on to the next question. But I'll simply say, back in the old days, the State of the Union address, the president didn't have to deliver it. Somebody had to go up to